This year, I am focused on saving and investing, but I still want to do things like travel. NerdWallet lets you compare top travel credit cards side by side to maximize your spending, some even offering 10 times points on your spending, which means you could end up with a free flight or maybe a better hotel room.
So what could future you do with smarter financial decisions? Compare and find smarter credit cards, savings accounts, and more today at nerdwallet.com. NerdWallet, finance smarter. Reminder, credit is subject to lender approval and terms apply.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half.
Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today. Hello, and welcome to Happier, a podcast that gives you strategies for building happier habits into your everyday life. This week, we'll talk about embracing good smells and how using work as a form of procrastination can be a major happiness stumbling block. I'm Gretchen Rubin, a writer who studies happiness, good habits, and human nature, and I'm in New York City. And with me is my sister, the sage, Elizabeth Kraft, who's my happiness guinea pig and questioner.
That's me, Elizabeth Kraft, a TV writer and producer living in LA. And I refuse to go to bed early, no matter how many times Gretchen tells me I should.
So, Elizabeth, let's get right to it. We're going to begin with a suggestion you can try at home, something small, manageable, that actually makes a big difference about how you feel each day. This week, our try this at home is to embrace good smells.
I don't get it.
I will make you a convert. Embrace good smells is just that. Our sense of smell, it's one of our five senses, but if we don't pay attention to it, it just sort of fades out of notice. But if we turn our attention to it, it's this whole source of pleasure that's right there, literally right under our noses. I mean, can't resist.
Yeah.
And the thing is that it's all around us. And what I love about the sense of smell, too, is that it's a pleasure for which there is no cost. Because you could eat a chocolate chip cookie, but then you have to count the calories or the carbs. And you could go to a museum and look at beautiful art, but you have to buy a ticket. And you could read a book, but you have to have time and mental focus. And sometimes you don't have that. But a sense of smell, it's just a quick fix. You just walk through the kitchen, smell a bottle of vanilla or a grapefruit, and it's just this rush of pleasure that's happening in a flash.
This is like why people say stop and smell the roses.
It's a cliche, but it's so true. Absolutely.
The funny thing about smells, I mean, I'm not a smell person necessarily, but I get that they can bring you pleasure. For instance, this is sort of weird, but Adam, his like favorite smell is skunks. He loves the smell of skunk. But the funny thing is now whenever I smell a skunk, I have this like little rush of love for Adam.
Aww.
Because it reminds me of him. And it's like to the day I die, when I smell a skunk, I'm going to remember him telling me that he loves the smell of skunks. And it's just like this kind of, I don't know, love moment.
Because you associate it with him.
Exactly. So now I guess I love the smell of skunks as well. I don't know that I'm going to go out and get some skunk perfume, but I appreciate it when I come upon it. Now, you, Gretchen, I've seen you have that shrine to smells in your apartment.
Right. Well, I have this shelf where I have all these weird perfumes and weird smells that I've collected, because it turns out there's all this crazy smells that you can get. Like one of my favorites is this guy named Christopher Brosius, I Hate Perfume. And he creates these smells that they aren't perfumes. You wouldn't like wear them on your body. They're just smells that evoke memories, and they're just really powerful and beautiful and strange. And so I just keep ordering little sample bottles online from all these different perfumers and different smell makers. And somebody said to me, well, what do you do with this little bottle that smells like a black March day right before the rain? And I say, every once in a while, I go over there and I just smell it. But here's the other thing about smell, is that it does two things that are kind of in opposition to each other. first, it ties us to the present moment. And whenever I talk to people about happiness, so many people say, I want to be more present. I want to be in the moment. I want to be in my body, because we're all feeling like we're so distracted and we're behind screens and we want to be like more present. And a smell is something that's happening right now. You can't bookmark it. You can't save it. It's happening to you right now. It's fleeting too, because if you smell that skunk for 10 minutes, it's just going to fade out. You're not going to even smell it anymore. So it's happening to you right now through your body. And that's gratifying.
Yeah, it's like in the world of taking video of everything and selfies of everything, it's actually something you can't, well, you can bottle it, I guess, the way, but not in the same way. That's cool.
Yeah. And it's also a strong tie to memory. And these are called Proustian memories, which
right.
is when a strong flavor or smell causes a rush of memory, of course, after Proust and his Madeleine cookies. And you think of how often a smell gives you a memory. Like, Elizabeth, think back to the smell of our grandpa's garage.
Oh, yeah.
Or like the attic in our old house,
mm-hmm.
like that
yes,
had that
yes.
hot smell. And it just ties you to memory. And it's this really powerful thing that's just right there. And you can tap into it anytime you want. So it's a really a delightful thing that gives you that little bit of happiness.
Yeah, I wish I could hire someone to bottle the smell of like my son right now when he's 5.
Oh,
that would be great.
That would be great. And listeners, post a comment and tell us, what are some of your favorite smells? And is there a way that embracing good smells has added to your happiness? You can send me a tweet at Gretchen Rubin, to Elizabeth at Elizabeth Craft, connect on the Gretchen Rubin Facebook page, or drop us an email at podcast@GretchenRubin.com.
The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to say goodbye to jackets and sweaters and hello to shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe without spending a fortune, and luckily I found Quince. Elizabeth, I got the Flowknit wide leg pant. It's very light. It's perfect for the summer. It packs very easily. I recently went on a trip with my family, and I took it with me, and they were just the thing to wear on a really hot day where I wanted to be covered up, but I wanted something that looked great and also was very comfortable.
And the best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts the cost of the middleman and passes the savings on to us. Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/Gretchen for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/Gretchen to get free shipping and 365-day returns. quince.com/Gretchen.
Let's move on to our next segment. We're going to talk about a happiness stumbling block. That's our name for the small, seemingly insignificant things that get in our way when we're trying to be happier. This week, we're going to discuss how working can be one of the most dangerous forms of procrastination. This happens on two levels. Now, the first level is just the daily level, and I think we've all experienced this, which is when you've got some major task to do that you're not that excited about doing, and it seems urgent that some other task be completed before you can tackle that real priority task. And it's not like you're goofing off. You're not just, you know, hanging around enjoying leisure. You're doing something that's work, but it's not the work you're supposed to be doing. And I talked to somebody who said, what I do is at work, I make these to-do lists, and there's some easy things on the to-do list and then some hard things on the to-do list. And then I spend all my time doing the easy things. But then I say to myself, I'm doing things on my to-do list, so, you know, I'm being productive. It's like, well, you're not really being productive.
So that person's actually planning for procrastination. That's smart. I can totally relate to this because I recently my writing partner and I were doing 2 pilot scripts, and I swear, you know, I don't like to clean.
Yeah.
I had this overwhelming urge to clean the guest room closet. And
yeah.
It was like all I wanted to do was go look in the closet and figure out what I could throw away. And it seems so important.
And so delightful, too, right? So alluring.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So alluring. It was just like urge. And then meanwhile, of course, my pilots are done now. And my closet is, you know, not is now half clean and half not clean because I completely lost interest in the whole endeavor once my pilots were done, you know. And that no longer was like an escape from writing.
Well, and that's the key test right there is if the lesser task or the blocking task is truly urgent and truly does need to be done before you can tackle the big one, if the big one goes away or is put behind you for some reason, does that other task still seem urgent? Or are you like, oh, no, now I don't care at all? I mean, for you, you were like, the minute the pilots were done, the guest closet just vanished as a priority.
Ceased to exist in my mind.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Though I am looking forward to tackling that one day. So that's the first level, which is sort of like, you know, with a specific thing that you have to do in a particular afternoon, and you feel like you have to clean off your desk before you could do anything. But work can also be procrastination on a much deeper and larger level. And that's when working is the distraction and the excuse that turns your attention from really bigger issues in your life.
Yeah, I mean, that's really dangerous because, I mean, I think we all know people, and even in our own lives perhaps, have had times when, you know, you can focus so much on your career that you say, well, I don't have time to date. I don't have time to think about, you know, whether or not I'm going to have kids because I'm just working all the time. And that's like the kind of dangerous form of procrastination that could impact your entire life. I mean, you could end up never having a kid because you were procrastinating with your job.
Well, you're just procrastinating with the decision. Like it's constantly acting as a buffer. When I was in law school, I mean, the fact that I was in law school and following a law career disguised the fact that I hadn't really grappled with the thing of like, what did I actually want to do with my life? I never thought about that. I was just like, oh, I'll take the LSAT. Oh, I'll apply to law school. Oh, I'll go to law school. Oh, I'll get a clerkship. You know, I mean, this went on for years. And so working, it was so intense. It was so, I mean, and it seemed so productive from the outside.
Not many people can say Yale Law School was their form of procrastination, but...
But the thing is like it was a buffer that allowed me not to face the fact that I hadn't really thought about, well, what did I want to do for a career? And when I ran out of the work that would allow me to procrastinate with figuring that out, then I was like, well, actually, I want to be doing something totally different. And so working was a very dangerous form of procrastination. But a lot of times, you know, you put off that bigger task or that bigger question really to your detriment. And but you don't feel like, oh, I'm goofing off. So you don't understand that you're procrastinating because
right.
It feels productive. And the people around you see you busy at work. And it's not like you're sitting there with your feet up with the television on. You're doing stuff. It's just not the stuff that you really should be doing.
Yeah, it's a dangerous one. I agree. I don't think dangerous is too strong a word. I think it really can have a major impact on life.
When you're hiring for your small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs has the tools to help find the right professionals for your team faster and free. And, you know, Elizabeth, I now work with a team, and hiring the right people is so important. It's maybe the most important thing. And LinkedIn makes the process of identifying and hiring people easy and intuitive. I know that when I've been hiring for my team, it's hard to find quality candidates to interview. And LinkedIn isn't just a job board. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. On LinkedIn, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Hire professionals like a professional on LinkedIn.
Post your job for free at linkedin.com/Gretchen. That's linkedin.com/Gretchen to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
On upcoming shows, we'll be answering some of your questions. But since this is an early episode, we don't have any calls to answer.
So instead, we'll answer a question posted to us from Gretchen's Facebook page. Gretchen, the question is, what's something that can be done every morning that will guarantee a happier start to the day?
You know what I'm going to say first.
Yes.
Yeah. If you want the morning, you got to go to bed on time. You know, you have to get enough sleep. So first of all, get enough sleep the night before. But here are some things you can do starting that day. One is if you, some people live alone, of course, but many people live with other people. And one thing you can do is to find ways to connect lovingly with the people in your household. One of the things that ancient philosophers and contemporary scientists agree on is that relationships with other people are key to happiness. And maybe the key to happiness is having strong relationships with other people.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Yeah. So you want to do things that are going to show that, they're going to put that into action. So one of the habits that I've formed is the habit to kiss in the morning and kiss at night. So every morning and every night, I kiss my husband, Jamie, my two daughters, Eliza and Eleanor, and then the same thing at night. And I kiss them a lot in between, too. And this just creates that kind of tender, affectionate atmosphere. And another thing that research shows is we think that we act because of the way we feel, but we often feel because of the way we act. So if you act in a loving way, you're going to make yourself feel more loving. And of course, they're going to feel more loved because you're acting in this loving way. So that's a great thing to do. And it takes one second.
I love that idea. I mean, I feel like I always kiss goodnight, but kissing in the morning, I don't necessarily think of. And I'm even thinking of Jack. He almost every morning greets our cat. Blackjack goes over and gives him, you know, some attention. Aww. And I always think that's so sweet. So he sort of naturally has that feeling that how you should start the day with a little TLC.
Yeah.
So I think that's a nice, and it's, you know what I like about that, Gretchen, is unlike making your bed, which is another thing that I know you feel strongly about, this isn't an onerous thing.
It's
this is
very easy.
Easy and happy,
yes.
And it doesn't feel like a chore, which appeals to me. So I'm going to do this one for sure.
Well, and here's another thing that's also not onerous, that's really easy, is to do things that like kind of boost your energy, like get you going, like make you feel cheerful and awake and alive, because it's hard sometimes to get going in the morning. And again, act the way you want to feel. So ways that you can convince yourself that you feel energetic and cheerful. One is to sing. If you sing in the morning, that's a good one.
No one wants to hear that from me, believe me.
We share that. But, when no one's around in the room, we can do it. And one is to jump up and down, weirdly. Like, do a couple jumping jacks, run down the stairs.
Get the blood flow.
Yeah. And there's something kind of goofy and childlike about just jumping that is very energizing. And you can do this anytime during the day. This works like a charm. Like, you're at the office, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Just do a few jumping jacks, especially if people can see you because you will feel so goofy, but it really, really is very energizing. Or also I stretch, not because I think there's anything kind of medical benefit to stretching. It just wakes me up. Like I've noticed that if I skip the stretching, I just feel kind of stiff and weighed down. And there's something about stretching that just gets me going.
All right. Well, that's a lot of things that we can all do to feel better in the morning. So I will try at least a couple of those. If you'd like Gretchen and me to answer your question on a future show, here's the number to call. 774-277-9336. Or more memorably, 77-HAPPY-336.
Okay, it's my week to step forward first for the dreaded demerit.
Let's hear it.
And my demerit is that I cannot check my phone messages on my landline phone.
You can't or you won't?
I can't. I simply cannot. And I won't because I can't. And, we have one of those phones where if you pick up the receiver, it goes beep, 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 beep. So you know you have messages. So every time I pick up the phone, I'm reminded that we have messages. And I never pick up the messages. So we always have messages. Mm-hmm. So every time I pick up the phone, it drives me crazy. And I have tried. I was like, I'm going to make a habit of this. I'm going to, every time I hear that buzz, that beep, I'm just going to right then and there take the messages. And if I stay on top of this, it's going to be fine. And I cannot make myself, I am powerless. I cannot do it. So finally, the only thing I can come up with is like every once in a while, I like take the phone over to Jamie and I'm like, will you, and with a pad of paper and a pen, I'm like, will you do it? And see, this is the thing, like it doesn't bother him. He's fine doing it. He doesn't have an emotional reaction to it, but he doesn't feel bothered to do it. So he never does it. I'm like, if you don't care, why don't you just do it? But he just won't. So I am like tied up in knots, procrastinating on this. And of course, there could be some incredibly important message there that we're just not listening to as days go by.
Well, I will point out you could do what others do, which is just let the messages fill up and then that you can't leave a message and then you never have to check your messages again, which is what I've done. I only have my landline, you know, for an earthquake.
It's full of messages then that you don't know what they are. They've been on there forever. It's full and you don't know what they are.
It's a total mystery. I know that several of them are for mom because she's mentioned it.
I mean, or I could do the thing where you leave you put on the message where you say, by the way, we never pick up our phone messages. So if you have an important message, you just need to call us on our cell phones. But that would mean that I would have to like get in with the phone enough to figure out how to change the message. And I don't even want to do that. I'm like, I just want to stay away from it altogether. So I don't know what to do.
I hear that. But I think you should do that. Maybe have Eliza do it, because otherwise this is going to be a happiness demerit that just keeps happening over and
that's
over.
True.
Because I don't see you starting to listen to the messages. I just don't see it happening.
No, you're right. I need to find a permanent solution. You're absolutely right. Okay. But lift us up. Lift us up. Take us to a happier place here. What's your gold star?
All right, I have a big gold star, and it is for something called Inform Fitness. Now, Gretch, you are the queen of Inform Fitness, so feel free to jump in here.
Yeah.
It's a form of exercise that you introduced me to. Obviously, you do it in New York, and you got me to start doing it in Los Angeles, that it's a 20-minute workout once a week, where you lift the maximum weight you can possibly lift for 2 minutes on 7 different machines, and you go to muscle failure.
It's hard.
And when you're done, you can barely even open the door to leave the place. But the beautiful thing is, in 20 minutes, you've gotten a complete workout. And although we go to a place called Inform Fitness, it's the technique is called super slow, and a lot of different places have it.
Well, some people will say to me like, oh, but you don't sweat. It's only 20 minutes once a week. It can't be a real workout. I'm like, you do it one time and tell me if it's a workout. And no one will dispute that it's a workout.
Yeah. And you love it so much. You've gotten Jamie to do it, your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, and your sister-in-law.
Yeah. And like 30 of my friends.
Yeah. And I'm proud to announce that as of yesterday, Adam is now
really
an Inform Fitness person. And his devotion, you know, is immediate, even though I've been nagging him, of course, to try it for months and months.
Yeah.
He, for whatever reason, finally decided to try it. And of course, now he's all about Inform Fitness because he sees, you know, once you do it, you go, oh, yeah, this makes a lot of sense. And like, I am that person who, you know, the downside is it's expensive because you have to have a one-on-one trainer for it. But like, I am the person who joined Equinox and went one time. I mean, exactly one time. I was like, I hate this parking structure. I'm never coming here again. And it makes me sick when I think about it.
Well, you know what Jamie said to me?
What?
I said to him, it's awfully expensive, like given how long the workout is. And he goes, well, would you rather exercise more and pay less? And I was like, no, I would rather pay more and exercise less. Yes, I will take that deal.
So I recommend to anyone Inform Fitness itself or any place that does super slow, because it really, as you age, we all hear about the importance of, you know, strength and bone density to all of that. And this really helps. And you can feel really good about yourself for only 20 minutes a week.
And research is really seeming to increasingly suggest that high intensity exercise really is beneficial. And the great thing about high intensity exercise is, although it's intense while it's going on, it's much shorter duration. So for people who want efficiency, or for people who are like us who really just want to minimize our contact with it, this is a really good way to get all the benefits in a way that is, you know, feels manageable. And then also, you sort of it's easier to do it because you're like, it's 20 minutes once a week. I mean, I can get myself to do anything 20 minutes once a week. So it's easier to stick to it because you just feel like, oh, come on.
It's not a big time commitment. I will say it's my least favorite 20 minutes of the week.
But then you're so happy for the whole rest of the week that you did it.
Exactly. But then the moment I walk out is like pure euphoria.
Yes.
So it's worth it.
It's totally.
It's worth the high.
And that's it for this episode of Happier. Remember, try this at home. Embrace good smells. And let us know if it makes you happier and what your favorite smells are.
Our producer is Henry Malofsky. Thanks to Laura Mayer and Andy Bowers at Panoply. Please let us know what you think of the show. Gretchen's on Twitter at Gretchen Rubin, and I'm at Elizabeth Kraft. Our email address is podcast@gretchenrubin.com.
And if you like the show, please be sure to tell a friend and subscribe to us and leave a review in iTunes.
Until next week, I'm Elizabeth Kraft.
And I'm Gretchen Rubin. Thanks for joining us. Onward and upward.
This podcast is part of the Panoply Network. Check out our entire roster of podcasts at itunes.com/panoply.
If you've ever been in the market for a new home, you know home shopping can be a lot. There's so much you don't know and so much you need to know. What are the neighborhoods like? What are the schools like? Who is the agent who knows the listing or neighborhood best? And why can't all this information just be in one place?
Well, now it is on Homes.com. They've got everything you need to know about the listing itself, but even better, they've got comprehensive neighborhood guides and detailed reports about local schools. And their agent directory helps you see the agent's current listings and sales history. Homes.com collaboration tools make it easier than ever to share all this information with your family. It's a whole cul-de-sac of home shopping information all at your fingertips. Homes.com. We've done your homework.